everyone. Welcome to Cheers to Leaving. Today is a episode of just Cameron and me, and I'm really excited because, or Cameron and I, grammar. I'm excited redo because it. it's been a minute. Like, you know, we haven't had an episode together in like a second since the first one. So I'm excited to dive into our topic today. But before that, my brother in Christ, how art thou?
I am feeling exalted and religiously aligned. I feel one exalted. With God. How are you?
I'm feeling at one with the divine, mm-hmm. the divine power. Oh my God. No, I'm tired, and I do wish that the divine power would fill me with their presence.
Just their presence, me. Or
yeah. Maybe don't fill me with anything.
Consent is sexy, Jesus.
Just stay away from me with your filling stuff, please. Anyway, see, it's just natural to just be like, fill me with your, because that's the terms, and it's so weird. Anyway, we're not talking about purity culture today. We're shelving that one for now, and we're getting back into our Exploring Other Religions series, because that's what we're here to do. So today, we are talking about Gnosticism, and I'm really excited about this one. This is not something I really knew much about, but now I know a lot about it.
Rachel, did you say agnosticism?
No. Why? No.
What do you mean? You know
Right, you are, Cameron. That is a common misconception. When people say Gnostic, they think that I mean agnostic. And I'm going to tell you the difference for clarity reasons and for our guests today. So I'm going to clear it up. Agnostic is someone who believes that the existence of God or the divine is unknown or unknowable. They neither believe nor disbelieve in the existence of a deity. However, Gnostic believes the knowledge of God or the divine is possible and that they have such knowledge, which I know is like, what? But it'll make sense the more we talk about it. But just so you know, we're not talking about being agnostic today. And I wonder, I didn't look up like when we started calling it agnostic, but it kind of makes sense. They're just like opposites.
Yeah, so. I suppose so. I didn't think about that. Yeah. To be honest, before you said anything, I didn't really know that agnostic and Gnosticism was confused. So,
well, I know I said Gnostic to someone recently and they were like, oh, agnostic. So I just thought I'd clear it up. Not everyone can be as intelligent as us, Cameron.
Okay. Yeah, well, as we'll discover through this topic, us two and everybody who listens to this podcast is part of the pneumatic class of human beings. So, and you'll know what that means welcome. In a little while. Yeah.
Okay. So we're just going to dive right in because there's nothing else to do. So Gnosticism, there's nothing else to do. We're recording. Emerged in the early centuries of Christianity, like in first and second centuries AD. And it's difficult to pinpoint an exact date or origin, but it was during this time that various Gnostic sects and movements began to develop. And the term Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which is the word for knowledge, which will make sense the more that we get into this. But Gnosticism itself is a modern construct used to describe like a diverse set of religious beliefs and spiritual practices that were present in the early Christian era. So in a way, this is like a form of Christianity, I guess, but like it's not. It's like a rejected part of Christianity. So Gnostic ideas can be found in some of like the earliest Christian texts, such as like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Mary or the Gospel of Philip, among others, which is why they didn't make it into the Bible. You'll see why once we've finished this episode. So what's interesting, I thought, about Gnosticism is that we didn't really know much about it until like 1945 when we found all the stuff in Egypt, unless your research told you different. But what I found is like, we really didn't know shit until 1945 about it, except from texts that were written by like critics of Gnosticism.
Yeah. There was
like, if Trump wrote a bio about Biden, essentially it's like, it'd be a lot of biased shit.
It sounds like we watched similar videos on this topic.
We did.
Yeah. So the discovery of the Nag Hammadi library in Egypt in 45 kind of opened up the world to what we modernly called Gnosticism. And then I want to say a couple decades later, we found the Gospel of Judas, which is
ooh,
really
I bet
cool.
That's juicy.
Yeah. It's, you know what? As it turns out, in the Gnostic belief, Judas, kind of a homie.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I want to read it. We might, honestly, there's so many like of these books that I was like looking through and I was like, I feel like we could do episodes on these because they're fascinating. Yeah.
And so as you were saying, like it came, the Gnostic concept came from, it's kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Why do I not know English? It's sort of this like really murky time for Christianity where like we kind of had the core belief, you know, coming from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Bible. And then all of these white people were like, I have an idea, and started writing and like creating their own collections of stuff. And so there was like a bunch of different versions of Christianity coming out. One of these being Gnosticism, and because history is written by the victors, the Orthodox Christianity that came later ended up just destroying everything. So that's why we know very little, and a lot of the Gnostic beliefs have been kind of developed more recently based on the Nag Hammadi and the Book of or the Gospel of Judas.
And like, didn't like a lot of the texts that were found in Nag Hammadi like burned? Yeah. And like kind of they tried to destroy them.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christians have been burning books all the way back in the first and second centuries. Nothing changes.
They hate knowledge. Still, they just don't want you to be educated.
Yeah. They don't like learning things. And I think that's really apparent in today's culture.
Which is where Gnosticism is great, because it's all about knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's a rejected part of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I want to go off really quick on a tiny rabbit trail about the Gospel of Thomas, because, and then we can move on. But the Gospel of Thomas was discovered in 1945, according to my research, in Egypt, like the Gnostic texts, because it's considered a Gnostic gospel and not like, which is interesting because you would think it'd be like, you know, that they would have included it with the other gospels of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But apparently the manuscript contains like 114 sayings attributed to Jesus. And some of those resemble those found in the Gospels, but a lot of those sayings like were previously unknown or very contradictory to what is written in the Gospels. But there are several reasons why it wasn't included, and probably goes for like the Gospel of Judas and everything else. But it was not written by Jesus's disciple, Thomas. Early Christian leaders universally recognized it as forgery, which is funny because that is true for a lot of other authors that did make it in the Bible. So I'm not really sure why that was rejected. And it was also rejected by like the vast majority of early Christians. It also contains teachings that are inconsistent with the biblical gospels and like the rest of the New Testament. So it's like considered a Gnostic gospel, giving a Gnostic viewpoint of Christianity, and rejecting a lot of like only knowledge can be found in like Jesus and things like that. But anyway, what the fuck is Gnosticism? We're like going on and be like, this isn't what it is, but like, what the fuck is it? How would you describe Gnosticism like in a nutshell? Because I feel like that's kind of hard.
It is the understanding that the material plane in which we live is fundamentally corrupted, and it is our duty to gain secret celestial knowledge to become free of the shackles of the false god. I would say.
Which the Gnostics believed, the Christian, you know, Gnostics essentially believed that was the god of the Old Testament, the false god.
Yeah, Gnosticism came out of the discrepancies they found between the Old and New Testament, because the New Testament tends to show a more caring and loving God for Jesus. Sort of. Yeah.
And the Old Testament stopped being crazy.
Yeah. And so it's like I forget what I'm terrible with words. It's like a dual religious belief where the Old Testament is basically the corrupted God, and then the New Testament is the introduction of the true God. What they call the, where are my notes on that? What is he called?
They call it, isn't it Monad or something?
Yeah, Monad, the invisible spirit. That's what it is.
The invisible spirit. God, I want a title like that. Rachel, the one who is seen and not heard. Something weird like that.
We got to put a poll out in the community to give us nicknames.
Yeah. Give us titles.
Exalt us.
exalt us, our brothers in Christ.
Now this is a cult.
Yes, it is. You might want to convert to Gnosticism after the end of this episode, because I was like, I feel like I already think this way about everything, so maybe I'm already a Gnostic. But so the creation story in Gnostic texts are like super interesting and like almost make sense. So I'm going to give a brief summary. Interrupt me if I'm getting anything wrong or if you have anything to add. This is one creation. I mean, I think it's the most consistent one that I found. People have like different names sometimes for these people, but it's essentially, this is what it is. I think some of them are just like maybe more flowery than others.
Yeah. From what I read is that the upper echelon, the true three, whatever, that's all consistent through all the text. One of the aeons, which, is like branches of the three spirits. They all have different names except for one of them, which I'm sure you'll get into. So,
okay. Yeah. I try not to get too heady, but, essentially like in Gnostic cosmology, there's a supreme transcendent God who is like beyond human comprehension and understanding, because it's so complex and our tiny human brains can't understand it. And this God is often referred to as unknown God or monad or whatever you said earlier.
Invisible spirit.
And over time, this God started to produce other deities known as eons. And these eons were created essentially, from what I heard, like in pairs, male and female counterparts. I don't know if that's 100% true or if that's just like one story. But they all existed within this great spiritual realm. And one of the eons was referred to as wisdom or like Sophia. And this eon reproduced without a male counterpart, which again, this feels very like humanly, since it's like male and female counterparts needing to reproduce. But anyway, this eon created like a evil creature god known as the Demiurge. Or I think there was another name for him as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting pronunciation. Yaldabaoth.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yalda whatever. Yeah. <It's>, Yalda.
Probably considering considering how shitty he is, maybe we don't name him correctly. Maybe we just always mispronounce his name.
Fuck that Yalda guy. But because it was like evil, the other eons cast it out and put it in isolation away from the good spiritual realm. So the Demiurge, or Yalda, decided to create its own realm, our world, the material world. And in some Gnostic texts, the Demiurge creates the material world as a flawed and imperfect reflection of the divine realm. And the material world is often seen as a place of like suffering and ignorance created by the Demiurge, who convinced everyone that it was the supreme god, the only god, sound familiar, forcing its creations to worship it. So according to the Gnostics, the Demiurge is also referred to as the god of the Old Testament.
It's seen as evil. It's also just corrupted and kind of stupid compared to the rest of the Aeons. It just like kind of spitefully was like, oh, I can't be part of the entirety, which is the name of this, the overseeing spiritual realm. Oh, I can't be part of the entirety. Well, I'm just going to make my own entirety. And then just didn't do it correctly, pretty much. And,
didn't know how, didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So that's us, guys.
We
thus became human beings. Now you know why it's fucked. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I guess we are created in its image, though, because nobody really knows what the fuck they're doing.
It kind of, again, honestly, it makes sense. To me, the more I read, I'm like, yeah, actually, I could see that. Despite the flawed nature of our material world, Gnosticism teaches that within each human being, there is a divine spark or seed of the ultimate God. And this divine spark is often depicted as like the divine spark that can be awakened through spiritual knowledge or gnosis and ultimately allow individuals to escape the material world and return to the divine realm, which. Again, just reading that part by itself could also lead into like mysticism and other things like that. But salvation in Gnostic belief comes through knowledge of the true nature of reality and the divine spark within oneself. And by gaining this knowledge, individuals can overcome the ignorance and suffering of the material world and return to the divine realm. So kind of the same, it's like the same, but opposite of like biblical Christianity, like Jesus is the way, or we can only get there through God versus like, we already have all the tools we need in ourselves in Gnosticism, which is interesting.
Did you happen to read about or learn about how the divine spark was introduced to the material plane?
No, I didn't.
So yeah, the whole Adam and Eve story is maintained through the Gnostic belief. Again, as you mm-hmm. said, there's a lot of, basically it's just a kind of detractment from the Christian stories. Basically one of the Aeons, it might have been his own mother, might have been Sophia, but one of them tricked its dumbass into like breathing its energy into Adam. Because it is a son of the Aeon of Wisdom, it had some semblance of wisdom within that breath. And as time goes on, the serpent in the Gnostic belief is actually not Satan. It's actually just another, it's either, depending on where you read it from, it's either another Aeon or it is the invisible spirit itself. Being like, hey, you need some help to get the out of here. So eat this apple, and we'll get you on your way. And so they did that, and they started to gain knowledge because it's the tree of knowledge. One of the stories I heard was that from Adam and Eve, there was, as is in the Bible, you know, Cain and Abel. However, Cain was born because the Demiurge R-worded Eve, and that's why Cain was such a fucking bastard.
So he was a demigod, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. And then they had a third kid named Seth, and Gnostics are often called Sethians because Seth is supposed to be like the pure source of Gnostic knowledge, and so imparted the like precursor knowledge onto Earth from there. And then Jesus was supposed to be so the kind of structure of the it's not the eternal, I keep forgetting, the entirety is you know, the, oh, I just had the word in my head, man. Okay, whatever, it's fine. So there's the invisible spirit, and then right under that, it's like the secondary. There's a word for it. this anyway, the secondary like energy or concept, like the invisible one, like thought of this thing, it's how it does things. It's like an intelligent thing. It's not a structured anything like that. It's just like a universal kind of what I've talked about before, a universal intellect. And so it thought about this female Barbello, second principle. Principles were the word. Invisible spirit is the first principle. Barbello is the second principle, or consider what is known as the forethought. And through Barbello, the mother basically, and the invisible spirit, they created Christ. And Christ was supposed to be the bringer of knowledge so that humans could have a chance against basically the demiurge. And something interesting that kind of diverts from Christian belief is that Christ never actually had a material body. He just kind of played like he did. So he never actually suffered. And that's kind of where the Gospel of Judas comes in, which we can get into a little later. But
that's interesting. I did not read about that. Mm-hmm. So he just appeared as if he did? Or
yeah.
He used a host?
Yeah, there was no, it was the idea.
Sir, can I borrow your body?
No, it was like, they created a fabricated, like it looked and felt like a human body, but because, you know, these aeons have complete control over the elements, it was not like he didn't feel any pain truly. And so the martyrdom and the suffering was kind of just a
theater.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of theater. Dramatic gods. That's interesting. I read somewhere that some Gnostics weren't sure if he was like a divine messenger sent to us or not a human. Mm-hmm. Or, like you said, or he was a human and upon baptism was filled by a divine messenger. And that's why only after baptism he started doing all of his miracles.
Yeah,
much, sounds like speculation, but
I mean, like I said, much of the there, it's not unified. There's many different stories regarding it. I think it just happens that there are numerably a few more texts that say that it was like an actual aeon coming down and outside of a divine body or in a divine body, but not a material body. Who knows?
Which would make sense because, like, unless you were like a very sadistic, like, God, why would you, like, knowing all of that, come down to suffer? It's almost like, I don't know what you compare that to or what the name is for it. When you, like, suffer on purpose to, I mean, I guess Christianity, but like, when you purposely make yourself suffer to, is that sadistic? I mean, what is that? What word would you use for that? It just feels like
I am perpetually plagued with the tip of my tongue disease. So
yeah, I don't even know why I'm asking you for words right now. You're like, I have none.
I know the
I'm
word.
I'm fighting for my life over here, Rachel.
It's somewhere in here. I just can't access it, and that is my
curse. It's all gonna flow into your brain as soon as we end this recording, and you're just gonna be like. Where were you?
Yeah, that's just how it works. The arguments that I have after I talk to people are fucking bone crushing, bro.
Yeah, I'm that person too. Like hours later, I'm like in the shower, just like, you know, coming up with these sick burns to like things people said to me. And I'm just like, why does my mind go blank when like in the situation? I think we have to practice, Cameron. I think that that's what needs to happen. We just need to have them on a roster. And we just pick one and we're like, oh yeah.
You want to pre-write your arguments?
Pre-write my arguments. Like ones that fit for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm sick of doing that. I'm sick of that. I'm like, I know I have it in me. Anyway, back to Gnosticism.
Where were we? It's either, I forget which way it is. Like there's the masochist and the sadist. I think the sadist is the one that likes being self-inflicted.
Pain.
Yeah. And you know what? I want you to be careful, Rachel. Do not kink shame Jesus. All right. He did a lot of good for us.
Maybe he was I'm just not like, here to kink shame anyone. You know, it's just when you want to make a whole religion out of it, I might have a few arguments because you do you, boo, but like, don't make us do you. I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I personally would love the idea of people talking about my greatest sexual exploit of all time being publicly humiliated and put to great pain if that was my thing. That sounds dope. I don't know.
You're like, yeah, dude, I just started telling people what I was really into and they joined my cult.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Wasn't even the plan, man. I just...
Dude, I just still think that Christianity is kind of a giant game of telephone. So anything's possible.
I mean, isn't all of history isn't all of history before we had computers?
Yes, it is. It is. So I read too, just like a little bit about, well, I don't know, maybe we covered this a little bit, but essentially like how Gnosticism relates to Christianity, or like where Jesus comes in and the whole story of salvation, right? Is that it emphasizes the importance of knowledge for salvation instead of sacrifice for salvation, if that makes sense. So Jesus is still central to their system. And they thought that, you know, Jesus, you know, revealed the secret knowledge that can provide salvation. So it's not like Jesus's death and resurrection that gave salvation, but what he said to us and what he told us. Jesus still came to save us from the God of the Old Testament or the Demiurge, and but he came to show us who the higher God is, and it's not the God of the Old Testament. So that's kind of like where it sort of fits into Christianity and its beliefs there, aside from like the crazy cosmology that we talked about. But Jesus is kind of still the same person in Gnosticism as he is in the Bible.
Yeah, more or less. And I just want to say that that creation story is just metal as fuck.
It's like, so cool. And it makes sense.
It and feels that's what right. I want to
believe in. It feels right in my bones, okay? I'm like, I suspected. I knew this was happening. So, yeah. And like, I would also love to reference our first episode where you talk about how Christianity is not monotheist. It is polytheist. Am I saying that right?
Monotheistic and polytheistic, yeah.
Monotheistic, yeah, whatever. Okay.
And you asked.
It's because I get insecure when I start like saying big words that I don't use that in everyday life. And I'm like, did I say that right? Because in the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament or the Demiurge says, thou shalt not have other gods before me. So he's like literally admitting there are other gods. So explain that apologetics.
There's a couple of references. I don't know if we're referencing the same scripture. There's one Exodus 25:25, not 25.
He probably says it multiple times. I mean, even in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, it's just straight up says, I am a jealous God. Like,
Which the Demiurge is supposed to be like super jealous, super like narcissistic. And that is all of the words that I would use to describe the God of the Old Testament too.
Just think of like everybody listening, just think of that like really kind of annoying out there petty ex that you have. And they actually are probably the most connected to God, and at least the Hebrew God.
Yeah. The one that rules our material world. They're like super, they're so religious.
They're locked in, man. I don't...
I mentioned some of the other gospels and you mentioned Judas, but there was also one that sounded a little bit metal, but there's like Gnostic Apocalypse of Peter. That's like a book of like that the Gnostics have.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And then
that.
There's like the first apocalypse of James and the second apocalypse of James and the apocalypse of Adam. And these all just sound really interesting.
I wish I would have seen those.
The Acts of Peter and the 12. Like, I don't, there's so many, but like, there's more popular ones. And then, like, you know, there's a story about Mary Magdalene. And I think, and there's a book about it too, which I don't know if some people have read it. I know Molly read it at one point, but we didn't really get into it. But at least in Gnosticism, she, like, is given the secret knowledge or whatever. And that pisses the men off. Like, it pisses off Paul and stuff. And he's like, I don't understand why he gave it to you. Cause you know, you're a woman or whatever. And then everyone did go off and like preach the gospel, but who knows what they were preaching. You know, they probably like preached their own version of it. Some of it was right, some of it wasn't. So that's also kind of just the whole Bible. People are like, I feel like this is what the gospel should be. So
yeah, let me put my spin on it because I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Basically. But it is crazy to me still that up until 1945, like the only thing we had to go off was like stuff written by people who are critical of it.
Yeah, this shit was just lost with great intent to do so. And, you know, right. thank the invisible one for bringing it back.
Thank the invisible one. Go ahead.
I am convinced there was probably a ton of Gnostic texts in the Library of Alexandria. I'm not going to lie. Like,
probably.
When did that burn down?
There's probably more in Egypt, too. I feel like Egypt's got a ton of crazy shit in it. Old crazy shit.
Let me see. When was that? My timeline's wrong. Never mind. That burned just down before Christ.
Oh, it did?
48 BC, yeah.
Or Christ even. BCE. Apparently in some of the critic texts, they were like, Gnostics eat babies. And yeah. I feel like that just goes to show that Christians don't change their tactics. Like, they love to blame anyone they don't like of eating babies. Yeah. Oh, you're a liberal? Do you eat babies?
It was very, apparently it was a very effective tactic to get people out of like believing stuff. Apparently there were some horrendous things said about the Gnostics. You know, they would have giant sex orgies.
They probably killed for it too.
Giant sex orgies would sound great, you know, like eating babies and some other stuff that were so bad that the readings and the videos that I watched were like, yeah, we're not talking about this. If you want to learn about it, go read about what that guy said. I don't even remember what his name was, but because we're not saying it.
Well, now I want to read it because that sounds juicy.
Let me find the name of the guy real quick.
Yeah, give us the name. I'm going to go deep dive after this. So I don't even know if we want to go here, but have you heard of... the prison planet?
No.
So I think this is I don't know if it's like a form of Gnosticism. I think it comes from Gnosticism. It's not a new theory, I guess. The Gnostics have been talking about this place being a prison for our souls, right? For thousands of years. Like we're stuck here, whatever. And I guess... like there's a whole thing about, and it's like on Reddit and it's like a subreddit, but like, so it Buddhism teaches that reincarnation is the endless cycle of suffering. So essentially Buddhism has it right too, but it can only be broken by achieving enlightenment. So these claims were made by the Gnostics, and let's see. I don't want to just like read a bunch of stuff, but so, okay. I guess the prison planet almost goes into the fact that like the planet is like a farm for our souls essentially. And like, it's like they're harvesting our like negative energy or something. I don't know who is, maybe it's like Demiurge or something, but it's like almost like a piggyback theory onto Gnosticism. That's really interesting. It's like, in the same way that like we enslave, farm, kill animals and all of that is like that's their prison sentence. And like essentially, like, I'm not explaining this well, but it was an interesting, I mean, we could probably do a whole nother episode on the prison planet, but it's like a piggyback theory on Gnosticism. So I don't know if you read anything on that.
I think I remember reading something about it like early on, but I have feelings that this is going to turn into a Gnostic podcast because we're both so fucking psyched.
There's
on it.
So much. There's so much.
There is a lot of Similarities, Jesus Christ, similarities between...
These aren't even hard words.
I know. Similarities between Buddhism and like Gnostic concepts, how you achieve enlightenment, or what they call in Gnosticism pleroma, is different, but it does have the same end goal, more or less.
Yeah.
I don't remember, did you read anything in Gnosticism about... Like, if we die without achieving this kind of enlightenment, do we just come back? Did you hear that?
I didn't read anything about what happens when we die.
Gnostic reincarnation.
But I want to know, so you should look it up.
I'll find out right now. Oh, speaking of the last question, his name was Irenaeus, I-R-E-N-A-E-U-S. Apparently, he talks mad shit on the Gnostics, so...
I-R... can you spell it again?
Yeah. I have so many tabs open. I R E N A E U S.
And is this on TikTok or is it?
You getting your information?
Is this the TikTok?
No, he's the guy that was talking about the Gnostics eating babies and shit and the really bad stuff.
Okay.
The really bad stuff that the
and is videos he biased?
And the texts. Yeah, he's Christian.
Like, yeah, Gnostics suck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Nice. But he was also a main source for like what we understood the Gnostics to be for before we discovered
before 1945.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I didn't really research into, so I don't know, maybe we do a part two, but like, why again, it goes back to like the same question as with, of course, now we know why, I guess, the God won't get rid of Satan. And I didn't really see Satan in the Gnostic texts either. Did you?
No. I mean, the Satan of the world is basically...
He's just not even... Yeah, I mean, God is Satan, essentially. Yeah,
we are basically living in... this
we're living in hell.
Yeah. In terms of like what the Christian belief is that, yeah, this would be considered hell for Gnostics.
Yeah, it is hell. So I guess why does the higher realm allow the demiurge to continue doing this if they have the power to stop him? I didn't see anything like that, but I mean, that's also the question too that people ask about Christianity. Like, okay, well, if God can stop Satan, then like, why doesn't he?
From my understanding, like they can't because he rules his own realm. Like the entirety,
that's his world.
Yeah, the entirety is like ruled by this, all of these other aeons and the Invisible One and Belladonna, or whatever the fuck her name was.
Belladonna.
Because he developed his own world, he has kind of supreme reign over it, and they don't go to war, they don't kill each other. Like it's they're beings of intellect, and so they had to find a way to like circumnavigate this or circumvent this. So that's why they're like, all right, here are the tools to do it yourself, guys. We'll see you when you figure it out. Bye.
I see. There's something on the prison theory about that too, where they said that Earth resides in like the third dimension, which is a very dense dimension, which vibrates at like a low rate, which is why so many negative entities are able to exist here. And also why like real good-hearted beings cannot be here. And since their vibration is much higher, they reside in higher vibration realms. So these beings don't want anything to do with like conflict wars, like you said. Yeah. And most of these beings have long evolved past the point of using war to solve these types of issues, and war between other races doesn't appear to be a thing in the higher dimensions, which
makes sense. That's that I can definitely tell from my study of Western mysticism is that was added very recently in terms of the,
really?
Yeah, that that vibration theory is
yeah,
new.
It sounds like it. I'm vibrating at a higher vibration than you. I know I don't want to make fun of people like that, but I don't understand it.
I dabbled in it for a long time. I actually,
what does it mean?
All right.
What do you mean? It feels like woo-woo talk to me. And I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm just saying, like, me as a person who's a very, like, I consider myself a realist. When you say that stuff to me, it just feels like you're trying to, I don't know what the right word is for it either. It's, are you trying to, like, say I'm holier than thou, or like I'm using words that you don't understand on purpose because I want to make you feel like you don't understand what I'm talking about because I'm at a higher vibration. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's the problem with that. You are more or less right. The people who are very flagrantly like throw these terms around typically are, denial's not the right word, but they are have developed a sense of ego that would be contrary to their belief of being in a higher vibration.
Right. That is also the correlation I see too when these people continue to talk about it and then they're like, oh, but I don't care what you think because I'm at a higher vibration. I'm like, but you do and you won't shut up about it. And like, if you really were, would you care what anyone else thinks? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a similar problem that the astrologists have, and where like a lot of like genuinely intentional astrologists have a problem with how popular it's gotten, is because there are people who will come out, read a couple things, and be like, "I have a full understanding of this. I have ascended," and then they just fucking ruin it for everybody and turn it into space racism. And so, like, it's like that's not the vibe of astrology at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even know what the vibe is anymore of astrology because there's astrology girlies and like, that's fine. Again, if you want to have your astrology, I think you should have that, right? If that's something you relate to, I don't want to hate on that. But it's like when people really try to understand me by just knowing what my birth date is and start telling me about myself, not knowing anything about me, it kind of pisses me off because I don't relate to actually my sign at all.
And me, and I don't argue with these people very often because the ones who aren't really.
I don't either. I just say you do you, babe.
It's just the ones that we're talking about specifically, not all astrologers, but the ones that we were referencing, they don't even understand their own like belief system because there are three different types of astrology. There's the tropical / Western astrology, there's the Vedic astrology and the Draconic astrology. And if I ever list that off to these people, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right then I know they don't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? And like what is most popular here is Western and tropical astrology. And it's not based on the constellations. It's based on seasonal patterns. And they don't like Vedic astrology is based on the constellations, but they don't follow that. You know, like they don't even understand their own fucking belief system.
Right. It's almost like the astrology that people talk about now is like a trending sort of like hip thing. And it's not necessarily backed by anything. Kind of like you said, it's sort of like a melting pot of all of these different astrology beliefs, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. It's indicative of like, it's not just these people. It's fucking Christians too. It's people who get holier than thou on their own like religious spiritual bullshit. And like the whole point of being spiritual is not to have an ego about it.
Right. Exactly. And if you are firm in your foundation of whatever it is that you believe in, you're not going to feel so entitled to think that you're better than anyone. You're just going to be like, this is what I truly believe in. And that's that. Like, I feel confident about it. You don't have to care about it. Like, you know, and I think when people parade around like that, it sort of like diminishes their belief. And I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way, but you're right. Like the entire point of being enlightened and going to the divine realm or whatever the fuck else is to lose all of that. Like it's a very human, almost like negative material world thing to do.
Yeah. 100%.
You're so material world.
That's actually a really good segue because what Gnostics believe in is like sharing knowledge without ego.
Need this knowledge to ascend. Why would you want to? Yeah.
And so what I referenced in the beginning is the Gnostics believe, at least the modern, I don't know why I'm differentiating between the modern day Gnostics, because this whatever. there's the belief that there's like three types of people on the planet, and they're classified as the somatic / hylic, depending on how you want to call it, the psychics, and the pneumatics. And it's quite literally a rank ordering system. So there, it's like broken up into, from the order I gave it, and it's like, they don't use this term, but it's like lowest to greatest. The somatics or the hylics are like purely worldly being. They like barely have a divine spark. And even if they do, they like actively reject it and don't fuck with it. And so they're going to be here for a long time. The idea is eventually, yeah, reincarnation has to be a thing, because some of the stuff I read was that like they'll be here for millions of years, but eventually they'll figure it out. So reincarnation has to be a thing.
So if that's the case. Reincarnation feeds into Gnosticism too.
Yeah. And then the psychics are like the next level up. I had a good description of it in somewhere in my 10,000 tabs. basically, it's the next step up. It's like the people that are aware of this, they are working towards active enlightenment. They probably won't get there in this life. And then there's the pneumatics who have like basically figured it out, and they're like getting ready to peace out, essentially. And that's why I say everybody here is part of the pneumatic tribe.
We're all getting the fuck out of here, guys.
Oh shit, this is turning into a suicide cult.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. That's not what we're talking about. So is there... So I know... Okay, so people who are Gnostics now, which I haven't met anyone. You met one. You can't find him. I don't really think he exists, Cameron.
He was probably the invisible spirit coming down like, hey, you should check this out, bro.
He probably was. And then you were like, wait, come back. I have so many questions. And he was like, you never saw me. I haven't met one in the wild. I know they exist. There's some on TikTok. That's about it. But I don't know what would be cool about having a guest on who is Gnostic is like, what the fuck, like, do you do in your everyday life? What do you believe? Or is it just sort of like, I believe this and then I move on with my life? Do you practice stuff?
So from my understanding of like kind of the theoretical side of this, I know they had some, or it's theorized that they had some rituals. They had like a special type of baptism. I think they called it like the five seals tradition or something like that, but there's no text on how it was actually done. So that's lost. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Christians.
which it sounds really cool. Like I would love to go to a pool and get five sealed, man. Like that sounds fucking ethereal.
Five seal me.
Basically, so the way that you kind of like move up the ladder, this is like in between. So there's the three types of humans that I referenced, mm-hmm. but in the psychic category and kind of in the lower tiers of the pneumatic category, basically what they do is they go, and there are different numbers depending on the text, but let's just say there's 24 different types of aeons, and a lot of them like wisdom or Sophia is one of them. There's other ones called like truth or like mind or something like that. And these are all qualities of the inner spirit. It's just like a thought that they had, and then the aeon formed. And so what Gnostics will do, from my understanding, is that they will focus on one aeon, and as they like become attuned to each aeon, they kind of like raise in rank a little bit. And then once they hit all 24 of these, then they can move up into like a lower version of the entirety, and then they can start looking into the Trinity and like starting to align with them. But after that, they're past the material world. It's now they're just like doing spiritual work in the afterlife, basically. So it doesn't end when you die or when you kind of get out of the material plane, when you beat the demiurge, the final boss. But I assume based on like the Gnostic concepts, it's a lot of internal
work.
Yeah, it's internal work of trying to get aligned with like wisdom, for example. Like, so I can imagine somebody is trying to hear stories from a bunch of wise old people, or like trying to educate themselves, and then like truth, like trying to be more honest and like trying to find truth in people and all of that. So it's like being intentional, I believe, and like gearing your life towards those kind of different aeons.
So just like being a really good person.
Yeah.
Being a worthy person. That's cool. I like that. It's almost like you're striving every day to be some, like some, just to do inner work on yourself, to grow, to heal, to become healthier. And I think, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's awesome.
But they ate babies.
Yeah, you know what? I don't see anything wrong with that either. I'm just kidding.
The cannibalism aeon. We always forget about that one.
You forgot the final aeon, cannibalism, but not just any child cannibalism. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, it's so hard. And maybe this is I forgot what you called the very worldly people. Maybe that's
the somatics.
Somatics. Maybe this is the somatic in me, but I really, so my brain loves this idea of what we just talked about, right? Like growing, striving for this, striving for that. And then I think the somatic in this me is like, fuck it, we're going to die. You only live once. You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit about this? Like, the world is awful and nothing matters. So I don't know. Like, cause like, and I wrestle with myself wanting to find meaning and wanting to find, like, be a spiritual being and believe in something. And then I also kind of teeter back to what I just said, the somatic sort of thinking of just being like, fuck it, we're all going to die anyway. So I don't know. You guys decide.
You're letting that demiurge fill you with its spirit, man. You got to let that go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Full of demiurge. No, but I feel like this sits well with me, Gnosticism. It almost makes more sense to me than the story of the Bible.
Makes a hell of a lot more sense to me. And it's like, it's what's funny too, because it's kind of out there. You know what I mean? Like with the Christianity, it all kind of makes, I mean, it, like logically it makes the most sense. Like, okay, there's one God, they put a human here and then everything else was done by humans. Like, that's just a simpler story, but like some fucking serpent lion headed thing that is easily corruptible and like has just destroyed its own plane. It like makes way more sense to me.
It does, just because of like all the crazy shit that did happen in like the Old Testament and how like insane, like evangelicals can be, and how like insane Christian nationalists are getting. I'm like, this is not peace, love, and good feelings. This is like
the somatic.
This, I mean, yeah, this is very somatic, and I feel like a lot of them support war. And you know, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we're heading in the right direction.
Have we ever?
No, history's just repeating itself. But yeah, I don't know. So maybe we should be Gnostics. This is now a Gnostic podcast. That's all we're gonna talk about. I think it's fascinating though.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very very interesting.
And the cosmology story is way, like you said, it's just muddled as fuck. So I choose to believe in that.
Yeah, it's so complicated too. So you're never gonna be light on the reading.
No, you're not. You're going to have like, you're just going to learn more things. And yeah. And I just love that knowledge is like the goal, right? Like it's, they want, like you are encouraged to learn versus like in like Christianity, not all Christianity, obviously, but like at least evangelicalism, you are not encouraged to learn. Knowledge is actually bad because, you know, usually people leave once they gain the knowledge, right? You can't control people anymore. You can't. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like this is the version of Christianity that should have made it. not the Bible we have today.
Yeah, I mean, it's just funny. It's like literally a cult tactic. When you think about like the cults that we've found in history, it's all about like isolating them from the world and not letting them, not allowing them to, which I'm sure many people, including you, have already come to terms with. It's just, I'm thinking about that stuff now.
Yeah, I know. I, when I visited my home church like quite a few years ago, I sat there and I was like, this is a cult. This is a cult. and this is where I grew up, and now I know why I feel the way that I do.
There was a time, I remember when I was in my church, I was talking to, the church that I went to was like actually kind of cool. Like the youth group we did, it was just a bunch of younger people who were like, we were just all homies. I still talk to one of them. Like it was a vibe. But I remember, as I mentioned before, like I started doing the college thing when I was 14, and around the time I was 15, I was like, I went to this, I don't know if he was a pastor, I don't know, he was like a youth group leader, I guess. And I was like, look, man, I'm just worried because I hear these things about like physicists falling away from God. And, you know, I don't know, like, I'm just worried that it's going to create a divide between me and the church. And he's like, look, man, like it does happen, but like, it doesn't have to be that way, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's cool. Like, follow your passion, man. It's cool. And he was very open and accepting about that. And it turns out, yeah, no, I left.
Yep. The more you know, the more you learn. I feel like it's hard. It's just hard. And especially when you're believing in like things that are really kind of fantasy. Which, again, no hate, like, but some, I just some, feel like when you...
Some hate.
But, like, I also, like, don't want to shit on people's, like, things, like, that they have and believe in. But to some extent, I feel like when you further yourself in education and how the world works and how everything works and you open your mind to all kinds of different things and stories, it's almost impossible to, like, still hold on to that.
I don't know, man. Belief. I think we're in the new era of hater arc now that Kendrick is just fucking coming out. I don't know if you're even following up on any of that, but a ton of people are in now their hater arc. So it's socially acceptable again to just talk shit on everybody.
Amazing. I love it. I haven't dived into their beef in a lengthy amount. I've heard it's dark.
It's like, it's pretty dark, right?
That Drake is up to.
Yeah. But there's just a line in a series of lines in Kendrick's first one, I believe, where he just goes full tilt and just like, I hate this. I hate you. I fucking hate you. Like, and it sparked everybody's hater arc. So it's funny.
Good. Yes. Be free. Being nice is overrated. I'm in my petty era.
Yes.
Also, Netflix just had a whole like roasting session. A live roasting session for Tom Brady and Kevin Hart. And the clips I'm seeing from that are really, you know, feeding my soul because they're so savage and I love it. And these people are just sitting there taking it. It's great.
Tom Brady deserves it. It's fine.
I fucking hate Tom Brady. I don't even have a good reason to. I just...
I did. I don't remember them because he doesn't occupy my mind. But yeah, he's done some shit. That's like, why, dude? It doesn't make any sense.
And I think everyone like thinks he's hot. And I'm like, he's not.
I don't see it.
He's not. I don't get it.
It's just fit white man. It just fits that category. Yeah,
he's,
for them.
He's just your average straight white man.
Yeah.
Who plays football. He played football entirely too long. Anyway, this is not a Tom Brady podcast, but you know what? Baby girl, be in your hate arc era, whatever you said.
Yeah. Next episode will be us exploring the religion of Tom Brady. So get prepared for that. He is our one true God.
Gross. If Tom Brady is our one true God, I am out.
I'm out. Now it is a suicide cult. If Tom Brady is the second coming of Christ, I'm done.
If Tom Brady is the answer. If Tom Brady is the answer, then yes. Go kill yourself. I'm just kidding.
We'll do it live on the podcast.
I'm really not making a joke about suicide. But it is fun to have you heard like the like on TikTok? God, I'm referencing TikTok a lot. I spend a lot of time on there. Please don't ban it.
They will.
No,
get it in now. That's already passed the house. They will ban it, and then they will make a second version that is Americanized.
American,
and they will.
Yep.
They will not have.
And it will suck.
Yeah, they won't have the algorithm that China has created. So, yeah, it'll suck, and it'll be all ads, and nobody will use TikTok anymore. So, like. Start your doom scrolling now because it won't be here forever.
Spend 4 hours a day, get your fix. I'm just kidding. Don't do that because then you'll really have withdrawals.
That's true, actually.
Start weaning yourself now.
Find a new
app.
It's
actually what we need to be doing.
Or go read a book, you know, like try some new hobbies.
Go read a book. Turn off your phone. I was going to say something and I don't remember what it was, but anyway, that's Gnosticism.
Here goes the white straight male fucking steamrolling the conversation again, which is exactly what I didn't want.
I know. It's because I mentioned Tom Brady and it was like, everything fell into place.
I just aligned. I just woke up. I'm a sleeper agent. You just aligned.
Your white straight male and you just was like, oh.
I'm supposed to be an asshole.
Take away that man's microphone. Gnosticism. Let's all convert. I'm kind of into it. I definitely want to read more on the prison planet, and I want to go read Uranus. Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
I want to go read about the dark things Gnostics do, because maybe I'll want to do it even more. Be a Gnostic.
From what I understand, it's just like such a petty scripture of like, well, they're deluded. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, like it's basically a hit piece that you would see in modern day media.
Essentially what it is. Some Gnostic pissed him off and he was like, I'm going to write something.
Yeah, his Gnostic girlfriend cheated on him. He's like, fuck this bitch.
I'm going to take all the Gnostics down. And he kind of did.
He did. Him and the other guy.
Yep.
What is the other guy's name?
All right. Well, that's all we have for you today, guys. Gnosticism. Oh, let us know what you think about that. Honestly, I'm down to do the books of the Bible. Not the books of the Bible. The books that didn't make it into the Bible. We do not want to do books of the Bible here. But like the book of Judas, I'd love to dive into that. That sounds interesting. We could do a couple. Let us know if you want to hear about that. If not, I might just do it on my own. Or maybe we could just make it like a little bonus episode. But yeah, if you guys are interested. I had a lot of fun researching this topic. I don't know about you, Cameron, but
yeah, it's fun.
It was fun. I wish there was more out there, but I think we'll probably have to dig after this small amount that we learned. But anyway, we will see you guys next time. Have a good week.
Strong closer. Good job, Rachel.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'm really good with closing. What do you think happens when we die? I'm just kidding. All right. See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Cheers to Leaving. Please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and share with your friends and others who are on a journey of deconstruction and are looking to expand their horizons.
If you're looking for a community that understands what it's like leaving religion and are going through the same process as you, consider joining our Facebook support group. Be a part of the conversation, meet like-minded individuals, and get support. You can find the link in our show notes. We love hearing from you, so drop us a message, share your thoughts, or suggest topics you'd like us to discuss in future episodes. Email us at cheerstoleaving@gmail.com. Take care and catch you on the next episode of Cheers to Leaving.